Welcome to the Chris Ramsey Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. It is the Wednesday, June 2nd, 2021 edition of the program. And boy, do we have a good one today. Really looking forward to having Greg Amzinger of MLB Network and Rick Gaiman of RickRungood.com join us here from our Ophthalmology Associates studios. Greg from MLB Tonight, of course, St. Louisian, going to be with us to talk, well, all sorts of stuff. We'll talk the baseball season to this point, the Cardinals and Jack Flaherty, and then some really interesting stuff with Greg. I didn't know we'd go down this road, but talking about media, talking about the role of media and interacting with professional athletes and organizations in the interest of the fans, touching on Naomi Osaka withdrawing from the French Open and some of what has been brought to the forefront from a conversation standpoint, and I really think an interesting case study or discussion standpoint over the last couple of days. Just what is the role of media? How has it changed or evolved over the course of the pandemic? And where do we go from here? So we'll do that with Greg coming up in just a couple of minutes. Always love talking baseball with our guy, Greg Amzinger. Then Rick Gaiman of RickRungood.com going to be with us. If you used our DFS lineup last week, you cashed. So we're going to set another lineup before the memorial at Muirfield Village. We'll do that with Rick Gaiman coming up from RickRungood.com in just a few minutes. As I mentioned, we are broadcasting from the Ophthalmology Associates Studios, your iDoc.com. That's where you go so that you can see clearly, so that you don't need to worry about your eyes anymore, whether it's waking up, reaching for the glasses or contacts, whether it's not knowing if your prescription is strong enough or if you have the right prescription, if it's just questions because it's been too long since your last eye exam. Let the doctors at Ophthalmology Associates help you. Dr. Greg Birdie, Dr. Ranjan Malhotra, Dr. Robert Brasati, and Dr. Andrew Royer want to help you. They want to help you see your best. They're the doctors because more doctors trust them than anyone else. So shouldn't you trust them? Even if you don't know what you want to ask or what you need to ask, just call them at 314-966-5000 or go to the website at youreyedoc.com, even if you're not in St. Louis. And just start asking questions. Explain to them what your situation is. Their great staff will help you. Whether you go into their office, whether you visit over telehealth, let them help you at Ophthalmology Associates. Again, youreyedoc.com or 314-966-5000. And please tell them you heard about them on the Chris Ramsey Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. All right, don't forget as well to hit me up on Twitter if you subscribe and leave a review for the podcast, Scoops with Danny Mac, wherever you listen to podcasts. We're sending out a ton of cards. I want you to put a bounty on a player or players, and we'll get some cards in the mail. We've dropped off another batch of packages at the post office yesterday, so I'm having a lot of fun with this. I want you to put a bounty on a player, and I want to send you some cards. So if you set it up with the doctors at Ophthalmology Associates, if you subscribe, leave a review for the podcast, hit me up on Twitter at CHRABE, and we'll get you squared away. All right, let's talk a little baseball right now with one of the best, our guy Greg Amzinger from MLB Network, of course, the host of MLB Tonight. You can catch Greg and the guys on MLB Tonight every night as we watch baseball roll into the month of June. Greg, how are you, man? How's everything at MLB Network as we turn the page of the calendar into June and have a couple of months of the season under our belt?
Chris, good to hear your voice. It's good to be talking post-Memorial Day about a full baseball season so far. We're not talking about teams stuck in hotels, working out for a week, or driving in personal cars all the way to a city like Chicago to play a baseball game. It is a wonderful sight, a healthy, happy Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I think that it's funny. Maybe some of the things that we took for granted in sports, but especially in baseball, like the day-to-day rhythm of a season that starts in really in February in earnest with spring training and goes, you know, all the way until deep into October. And then we kind of turn over quickly into the off season. That's what I think I missed the most last year, just the repetition of every day, the storylines of every day, and how that impacts, you know, the course of a season, but also the entire industry.
It's a fabric of our culture, Major League Baseball. I tell fans all the time, you know, some that are on the fence, it's like, man, it's to me, it seems like a lot of work. If I miss a week of baseball, I'm so far behind. And in some ways, maybe you are. It is a labor of love. I have been a baseball fan since I was conceived. So although I don't have any proof of that, I feel like I was. I love the game. I love the creatures of habit. Think about that. I never would appreciate that until a pandemic messed all of that up. And these amazing pitchers that were in the game today, that not having their routine held them back. I mean, Jack Flaherty had a terrible year last year. To watch Jacob DeGrom finally get back to that every fifth day of dominance, that's also part of the routine of summer, watching these superstar pitchers. And you know, every fifth day you get excited to watch, you know, some crazy Clayton Kershaw pitching matchup. So these are the things I missed. The everyday players who are just steady Eddies, the guys that are always great. We've got a new crop of them that are all under the age of 25, the Tatises, the Acuñas, the Guerreros, the Sotos. It's amazing how spoiled we are right now. As of today, Major League Baseball, the young stars, the superstar pitchers, the great teams. It's fun to watch.
Greg Amsinger is with us hanging out. Of course, you can catch MLB Tonight on MLB Network. Yeah, you mentioned Flaherty, and tough news as he heads to the IL with an oblique after suffering an injury, apparently taking an at-bat the other night in Los Angeles against the Dodgers. I know that was one big sticking point for fans and maybe even a point of contention last year, Greg, was the universal DH in the shorter season. As we see strikeouts continue to go up, and one of your colleagues from MLB.com, Mike Petriello, was with me last week talking about how much pitchers and weakened benches have to do with that. As we see some pitchers suffer injuries in the National League while they're taking at bats or while they're on the bases, do you think what you mentioned, getting to see these guys do what they do every 5 days, do you think people's opinions, or do you think maybe the urgency to adjust the rules and perhaps get a universal DH into baseball will change as we see you know, unfortunate incidents like Flaherty perhaps?
You know, I think fans that love the National League were trying to be loyal to that idea. I'm a purist. I like the National League style of play. I'm a National League guy, and I've talked to managers like Jim Leland and Tony La Russa, and they've told me, you've never really managed in Major League Baseball until you manage a National League game. And the strategy is just awesome to watch. Great managers use pinch hitters and pinch running and, you know, trying to manufacture runs because you got the pitcher spot up next and all of that. The problem is pitchers waved the white flag on this whole thing. They're worse than they've ever been hitting. And I think they know what's on the horizon, which is a new collective bargaining agreement. It makes no sense for the union, the Players Association, to agree to a deal where there isn't universal DH. I mean, we're talking 15 more roster spots that would make a lot of money down the line. And you're also talking about more leverage for a position player who, say, is 28 years old and he wants a 10-year contract. What defensive spot are you putting that guy at the age of 37? So if he wants a long-term deal, now you've only got half the league that's willing to do that. That's the American League, who has the DH. So competitive balance is important, and I think that all comes down to money. So I'd be shocked to see a new CBA and no universal DH. And what I meant by my original point, I mean, pitchers are barely hitting over 100 this year. They're not as competitive. You've got your good guys. You got Woodruff. You've got almost every pitcher in the Brewers lineup in the rotation can hit. Obviously, Corbin Burns can swing the bat. Jacob DeGrom could be Shohei Ohtani to me. If he wanted to be the DH next year for the Mets, I think he'd hit 280 with like 15 bombs. He's that great of a hitter.
Yeah.
But you've got your handful of guys that are good. The rest of them have waved the white flag. They're not competitive at all anymore. And because they're not competing, it looks really bad. Let's just get rid of it. And universal DH, here we come.
Yeah, and I wonder, too, as you were rattling off some of the younger players, some of the stars in the game, Greg, like, I think that benches overall are better. Like, ask Tony La Russa. You know, the White Sox have two home runs from pinch hitters this year. Ask him if he likes some of those, you know, tools in his tool belt, even if it's in the American League. I just think that, you know, like you said, it gives an avenue to get some better a talent up. Obviously, there's the union implication, but like when your bench is stronger and when you have productive guys on the bench, you know, you can still use them in the American League. You can still use strategy. And that's where I think some managers really, really, you know, set themselves apart when they're able to use maybe a National League style, or they're able to use some creativity or use some of the pieces at their disposal in the American League, when maybe 5-10 years ago, we weren't used to seeing that.
And that's a great point. Joe Girardi, a former colleague, great friend of mine, was really at the forefront of using the DH in a new way. He wanted to use the designated hitter spot to give all of his regulars a half day off. He wanted to keep their legs fresh. Other managers looked at the DH spot and said, like, to your point, I've got a bench full of bats. I need to keep them sharp. So I'm going to rotate all of these guys through DH spot, because if I do need them in a pinch, if there is a good matchup because they've got a nasty lefty on the mound in the eighth inning, I don't have a Matt Stairs who hasn't taken an at-bat in a week, right?
It's almost like an NBA rotation mentality, yes, or like a load management. Yeah.
Right, right. So you've got these bats on the bench. Now it's a way to keep them sharp. So there are many creative ways to use a designated hitter spot. I still believe in the security blanket of signing free agent position players. Having that in the back of your mind, if you're a general manager, man, does that bring you some peace to know that you could go big to go sign a guy like Bryce Harper. We need to think to ourselves, what is Bryce Harper going to look like in right field for the Philadelphia Phillies at the age of 37? Is he going to cover a lot of ground out there? I wonder. They better hope they have a designated hitter spot. I believe they will in 2022.
Greg Emsinger with us. Of course, you can catch MLB Tonight on MLB Network. You know, La Russa, of course, making some waves a couple of weeks ago. The stories coming out of Chicago, not just what was said and what happened with Yermín Mercedes, Greg, but I think it's been an interesting case study in, you know, how media access has changed, how we take, and we, I mean, collectively, the media take what is said sometimes in some of the Zoom availability. It's instantly tweeted out. It's digested in a different way. Of course, Naomi Osaka making news in tennis by withdrawing from the French Open because of, you know, some of her issues and not wanting to speak to the media in accordance with the policy of the tournament. And I guess, in a long-winded way, my question for you, you guys have some of the most organic conversations on MLB Tonight. I remember one that really sticks out right before the season this year. It must have been the end of March. You guys talked to Tim Anderson and just some of the candor that you get from some of these guys. I think it was you and Smoltz. Some of the things that athletes say in certain settings, I wonder if we're losing some of that, Greg, and if, you know, the news cycle or the way we digest or the way that instantly, you know, reporters all are tweeting out quotes rather than, you know, having a conversation, if that will provide even more reluctance, or if that will continue to maybe dilute what we get from some of these interviews. I'm worried that maybe a byproduct of this year and the limitations of what the pandemic has provided in terms of access could continue to negatively impact the way that we talk to these guys and the way that we get information to fans.
It's a fantastic topic. I've actually had this off the air. I've had this conversation with Ken Rosenthal, Tom Verducci, Joel Sherman, John Heyman. These are some of the best in the business. And you've taken their weapons away. I mean, their weapons, it's all the goodwill that they have in the game. So when they walk into a clubhouse,
the relationships,
and there's a scrum around a star player or a poignant player that night, and Ken Rosenthal doesn't want any part of the scrum. He's just waiting off to the side because he's got his own stuff he wants to ask this guy. That player sees Ken Rosenthal. They see instant credibility. They see a future Hall of Fame journalist who's at the top of his game, and he's going to go to Ken Rosenthal and give him a little something different. And let's think about yourself. I mean, you cover the Cardinals all the time. Pre-pandemic, I'm sure you had relationships on that roster that if you were in the clubhouse looking to get some sound, then, you know, I don't know who it is. Paul DeJong, he's going to walk over to Chris and go, yeah, man, what do you need? Those relationships have been diluted. They've been taken away. And when you sit an athlete down in front of a screen, and even though he can see all the other little faces on the screens, he knows he's halfway out the door. He knows, because no one is physically there to kind of block him from getting away from this locker. I ain't saying that, but it's true.
Yeah.
He's halfway out the door mentally. So he's giving you 50% of what you usually would get. Even if
what's the benefit of saying anything that is quote unquote tweetable, you know, like saying anything too interesting?
Well, to me, that's everything now. I mean, one thing we need to talk about is the life of the Major League Baseball player. It is boring. Being a Major League Baseball player is boring. I mean, no one talks about it. All of these guys, are married. I mean, they're all married. It's like, why not? You know, being a single cat and a celebrity in Major League Baseball, when everyone's walking around with an iPhone, that's dangerous, man. That's dangerous. So they're all married at a really young age. They all drive separate cars away from the ballpark. No one's hanging out. You walk into a clubhouse and it is insane. Everyone is sitting at a locker looking at a device.
Yeah.
There's no camaraderie. There's no chatting. It's like being in a library. And then when they want to actually interact with each other, it's not going out to dinner. No, they play video games. They play video games. And that's how they interact with each other. One guy's in a different hotel room. I'm in my hotel room. We're playing Fortnite, and we can get our headsets on and chat. It's crazy. And it's all because they're out to protect themselves. They have been trained, Chris, to watch their money, to watch their personal relationships, watch their conduct out in public, the way they look, the way they sound, who they talk to, who's in their inner circle. All of these things are told to these athletes to protect themselves. And that is, there's a trickle down effect to that. And that is to the media. I mean, let's all be honest. The last, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, there has been a negative connotation towards the media. And it's even reached sports media. So a lot of these athletes already have a shield up when Ken Rosenthal wants to ask them about the 2-2 slider he threw that hung over the plate. So it's a little crazy, but it's a new world, man. It is a completely new world, the social aspect of playing in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I think it's And that's where, you know, the relationships come into a focus. And, you know, in St. Louis, for instance, Derek Gould, I think the cream rises to the top, right? He still did an incredible job, does an incredible job, despite, like, limitations. I feel like I, you know, have put in work. I've got relationships with guys. I can, you know, jump on a Zoom and get a guy to join me on my show or just talk to, you know, I was texting with guys during the Arenado stuff, like getting reaction, the kind of, you know, off the record kind of context stuff that we all get. But I worry that guys will continue to, you know, hesitate. Like, what's the benefit for them? And even, as you mentioned, like, some teams can't go to dinner. Like the Cubs, Jed Hoyer, I don't blame him for talking about frustration about not reaching the 85% threshold because, you know, you're on the road and guys can't take a load off and go out to dinner or hang out in groups or do stuff. So it's just, I feel like we're kind of at a crossroads. And I feel like, you know, on one hand, I think that baseball in general, like clubhouse access is really important. And, you know, Andy McCullough and I had this conversation a week or two ago, but I think that maybe we need to think about how we get the most out of it for everyone so that it's not just repetition. Like how many times, Greg, have you been in a clubhouse, you know, a couple of hours before a game and not just the players, all the reporters are just standing around looking at their phones. Like, and it's just like, because that's kind of what you do a couple of hours before a game. I want to, you know, try to get to a point where we're all using the opportunities we have, making the most out of them so that it's not a chore anymore. So that we're actually, you know, providing what we're supposed to provide to the people who enjoy and the fans who love the game.
Now, I completely agree with you. And if you see media on the field 2 hours before the game looking at their phone, I mean, they're working. Most of them are working. They're coordinating with people back in the studio or their station or their newspaper, wherever they're connected to. They're communicating what they have, and everyone has deadlines in the media. So work is actually being done on those phones. I will say this. I've talked to an unnamed front office executive, a pretty powerful one, who told me there's no going back. He's like, Greg, do you know how great it is to know that I will more than likely have a fully healthy roster And I go, wait, you mean you're going to have your players wear masks all the time? He goes, no. He's like, the one thing we never took note of was there would be 20 people who we don't know where they're from. We don't know if they're sick. We don't know if they're about to sneeze, standing within a foot of Paul Goldschmidt after he hit the walk-off home run. And all of these people are breathing on top of each other, feet away from the star player of a franchise.
Yeah, media scrums are pretty gross in general. Yeah.
They're gross. They're nasty. I mean, you literally see a camera guy or camera woman holding a camera over their head, and their face is pressed up against the ear of the person in front of them as they hold the camera in their head to get a shot. It's so, there is no social, it's the anti-social distancing job is a media scrum. And this front office executive made a great point. I don't want my stars getting sick anymore. And keeping them separated from each other in a way, and especially from the media, to where now a Zoom room is a big, empty, moving airspace where everyone's protected by screens. You can't touch these guys anymore. The media can't get on the field anymore to touch these guys. So this front office executive likes that, because he's like, no one talks about how the flu or have bronchitis, how all that stuff actually takes games away from pretty key players during random moments of a stretch run for a pennant. And he doesn't want that anymore. The other thing I'll say is, while the media is working when they're on their devices, I can't say that players aren't. Players could be sitting in the clubhouse for a game looking at all of the relievers on their phone. They get all this information.
Sure. It's a good way to deflect, though, right? Like, it's a good like, I'm in the middle of something. Don't interrupt me.
Right. I will say this. Please, let's get rid of all the video in baseball. I'm sick of it. I don't like it. It drives me crazy. Once again, we are Americanizing the sport. Do kids in the Dominican have iPads to look at the pitcher that's about to come into the game so they can face them? Do kids in Puerto Rico have that? Do kids in Venezuela have that? No, the answer is no. But yet those kids come over to the United States, and for some reason, they've got better instincts to play the game than our American players. We are overtrained, we're overcoached, we're overthinking the sport. And while it works for the two people that we want to glamorize, Javi Baez, who's got his binky back, JD Martinez, who's got his binky back, and he can look at all the devices he wants in the dugout, it's not good for the game, the overall product. We need to get away from it. We need to actually lean on hitting coaches who hit in the big leagues, not a guy who knows software, who knows how to sit there and give you the analytical information that's going to help you and tell you which pitch not to swing at. Chili Davis hit bombs in the big leagues. He should be a relevant hitting coach. So I think, and I've been very big on this, get rid of all of that video technology. Do what Tony Gwynn did. Tony Gwynn did look at video before a game. Go ahead and do that. Once the game starts, all bets are off. Lose the devices.
You know, it's funny, Greg. Like, I was talking to one player probably 2 weeks ago who was making a comment, and he's a fairly young guy. I mean, he's younger than me. I'm 34 years old. And he said that some young players, in his opinion, come up and they want to look at video before they even know what they're looking at or what they're looking for. And he said, you know, some of these guys, a hitting coach made a comment to him that, I could give some of these guys, these are pros, all right? Like, I could give some of them a fungo and say, hit a ball here, and they wouldn't necessarily be able to do it, but they'd want to watch video of it. Does that make sense? Like, it's totally. Almost like backwards how we're consuming things now.
It's factual, you just said. Young people would prefer to watch a meme of a walk-off home run than the actual walk-off home run in person in a ballpark. I mean, go to any baseball game and just scan the fans. They're all, so many of them, are looking down.
Oh, man.
While the game's going on. You know why? Because they're cool with watching the replay of what they missed. I mean, dude, it's crazy.
Glad. You remember the picture, like, was it a year or two ago? It was Tiger Woods teeing off at, I think, the British Open, and then it was Tiger Woods teeing off at St. Andrews 10 years prior, and every single person in the shot, it was the same shot on the same tee box, every single person 10 years ago was looking at him, and then every single person last year had a phone up.
Yep, and they were looking into the phone. They were looking at him through a phone. It's mind-boggling to me. Look,
that's what I always wonder, man. Like, it's going to be 4th of July in a couple of weeks. Like, why are you taking video of the fireworks? You're never going to go look at those, bro. You are never going to go look at those.
Never.
Just look at them with your eyes.
Listen, man, I feel like I have pictures. The only pictures I truly have in my possession, again, I'm going to sound like an old fuddy-duddy here, are pictures from my daughter. She's 18 now. So 18 years ago, we had a couple Polaroids left. And that's before the phones took over. And hard copy pictures are the only things that matter to me, because it's an actual physical thing I hold and I've got in shoeboxes and I possess. I could have my phone be stolen. I could have my backup drive, everything go out. I don't really believe any of the pictures that I covet in my phone or I'm going to have on my computer that I'm going to have forever on the iCloud. I just don't feel like they're just kind of magical. Hopefully they're still there. You're right. Look, I met my wife in the most romantic way ever because I was looking up. Okay. Now, if I had an iPhone in my hand when I was 19 years old, when I met my wife, maybe I would still have married my wife. Maybe 5 years later, we would have been on a dating website and we would have come together that way. But the story is so much cooler the way it was, because I saw her. She was walking by me. I had nothing to do. And I saw this woman walk by. And my goodness, keeping my eyes open and my head up led to such a great story of my life. And I just feel like that is symbolic of where we are in the world as we somehow get back to sports in this conversation. We need to take the technology away from the players. I think we almost put like a pouch in front of a ballpark seats where there's like a code on it that you get the day of. Put your phone away. Put
like
it in the pouch right in front of you. Yeah, put it the
phone away. Or
some
stand-up shows, yeah.
Yes. Just sit and chill and enjoy time with your family and watch the game. It's a beautiful sport to watch. You don't need to watch a replay of a great moment. Enjoy it in real time.
Greg Amzinger, you've got me inspired. You've got me fired up. and, you know, the only way you could weave some more detail that would be running through my imagination into the stories is if Chris Gardner was involved with you meeting your wife, because then the possibilities are endless. But yeah, man, I hope everyone takes a moment to just breathe it in, enjoy the fact that, hey, there is an IL for players to go on. That there is, you know, an extra innings game to lose. There is, you know, another game tomorrow and hopefully the next day and the next day, and there will be MLB tonight. And pick up the device if you're going to be watching MLB tonight on MLB Network. Otherwise, put it in the pouch.
Yeah, sit back, man. Let us. We will change the channel for you. That's what we do on MLB Tonight.
We go
from one game to the next game to the next game. So sit back and just put your arm around your loved ones and laugh watching baseball. That's what we try to do.
Let you do the heavy lifting. Greg Amzinger, yes. You're the best, brother. I appreciate it, man. Always enjoy chatting.
It's always a good time, Chris. We'll do it again soon, bud.
Love chatting with Greg Amzinger. A quick break, and then Rick Gaiman joins us from rickrungood.com. And, you know, I said that if you used our lineup last week, you cashed. And I want you to be able to see clearly whether you're setting your lineup, whether you're on the golf course, no matter what you're doing, I want you to see clearly. I want you to enjoy life. I want you to be able to enjoy life knowing that your eyes are getting the best care possible. And that's where the doctors at Ophthalmology Associates come in. We are so proud to broadcast from the Ophthalmology Associates studios. The doctors are at youreyedoc.com. That's where you can find out more about Dr. Greg Birdie, Dr. Ranjan Malhotra, Dr. Robert Bersatti, and Dr. Andrew Royer. That's where you can, you know, start your journey to better eyesight, whether it's just getting in for routine exams, if it's taking care of your contacts and glasses, your prescription, if it's asking questions about LASIK, they do it all. The doctors at Ophthalmology Associates want to earn your business. They've earned the business of more medical professionals in the St. Louis area than anyone else. So shouldn't you trust them with your eyes? Go to youreyedoc.com, then give them a call at 314-966-5000. Chat with their great staff. Tell them what your situation is. Be honest. Like, even if it's been a year or more, a couple of years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years since your last annual exam, get in to see them, whether it's in the office or over telehealth. 314-966-5000. And please tell the doctors that you heard about them on the Chris Raby Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Let's talk a little fantasy golf and more with our guy Rick Gaiman. All right, Rick Gaiman joins us from rickrungood.com as we get set for the Memorial this weekend. And Rick, man, up is down, down is up. Jordan Spieth, it's come full circle. He's the most expensive DraftKings player this week. Patrick Reed amongst the highest owned. Based on your projections, what is going on, man? What's happening, and what's going on this week?
It's craziness. You know, the thing is, this price from Jordan Spieth, $11,300, the most expensive golfer. It's well-deserved. We've been trending in this direction. Many are going to see his runner-up finish as a disappointment last week, but obviously not. It was a runner-up finish. All good there. And then the Reed thing, you know, this is really a multiple year trend that DFS players have gotten so much better at forgiving players. Patrick Reed had a pretty ugly missed cut last week in Fort Worth. I think he shot a 75 on Friday, and he missed a 5-footer for par on his final hole to miss the cut. And he was very popular last week. And I think a lot of people say, and they realize, that doesn't mean anything. If this was 4 years ago, 5 years ago, he'd be 2% owned this week, Chris, because that's the only thing people cared about. But we're as a group getting much smarter, getting much sharper, and this is evidence of that.
What do you make of the field this week, Rick? And obviously last year we had the back-to-back weeks at Muirfield. We've got some of the big boys this week in Spieth, Rahm, Bryson, Rory, Morikawa, JT. But I don't know, how would you compare this field to maybe what we would typically get for Jack's tournament?
Yeah, I think it's strong. This is normally about what we'd see, and I'll check the strength of field numbers when this thing kicks off. But it's certainly, I think we have 7 of the top 10 players in the world here, and it's a really good spot in the schedule, Chris. Not only is this an elevated event, so you get the extra year exemption if you go out and win it, it's a smaller field. It's Jack's event, so that's always adding something to it. It's Muirfield Village. It's a staple. It's a great course. And the idea that it is 2 weeks before the U.S. Open. So we have this week, we're going to have the Palmetto, which is a new event next week, and then the U.S. Open. This is perfect. This is where a lot of the big guys can say, okay, give me a tough test right before the U.S. Open, and then I'll get to take a week off and then go to Torrey Pines and play there. So you could not ask for a better spot in the schedule.
Yeah, and again, as we get ready, I kind of have the lasting image last year. Again, the event in between the PGA Championship and the U.S. Open, I kind of have the image last year of Jack like kind of tearing up the course as guys were like coming off of each green. Like it was kind of crazy. Funny. Yeah, and it's crazy to think about, Rick, like last year what we had at Colonial and what we had at Colonial at the Charles Schwab, what we had, you know, the 2 weeks at Muirfield, and like how far we've come since then. Not to get like sentimental, but it's kind of crazy to think about.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. We've never had, I don't know if we've ever had it, but it'd been like 100 years since we've had back-to-back events at the same course. It just doesn't happen, and it is a you know, because of what happened that we had to do that, right? I believe it took the spot of the RBC Canadian and they filled it here. And then of course, Jack goes all savage on everybody, starts ripping up these green. Like you couldn't have waited till the next morning. Like did those 2 hours of daylight really make a big difference? I don't know. I think it was all for show. And then you remember when John Rahm wins this, they're doing this dance off of 18 green, trying to figure out if they're shaking hands, if they're fist bumping, what they're doing. I mean, it was just, the whole thing was weird. And now we're finally getting fans back. We're hearing the roars again. We're you know, in major championship season. It's night and day. It really is a big difference from what we had. You know, it wasn't 365 days ago, but close.
Yeah, shades of. I just remember in 2003, as a Chicago Bears fan, your Philadelphia Eagles and Donovan McNabb beat the Bears in the divisional round of the playoffs. And as we were leaving, they started to like knock down Soldier Field because it was going to be the 2-year renovation. So yeah, Jack with a baller move.
Yeah, they most stories that start that are like your Philadelphia Eagles do not end in victory or like good things or like not bad things. So I appreciate
generally
that
better
one.
Than my Chicago Bears. Yeah, right, Rick Gaiman with us. RickRungood.com is the website. If you filled in your DraftKings lineup with us last week, then you probably cashed a few bucks as we put together a lineup. Let's go through the same exercise and put together a lineup this week, Rick. And, you know, I'm curious, as we've got 7 of the top 10 in the world, and we've got some of the big boys, we've got a deep field, and we've also got, you know, sandwiched right in the middle of the PGA and the U.S. Open. Where do you start as you start to evaluate the card? And again, if you're like me and you're an amateur, you're someone that just opens up wherever they play daily fantasy, we're generally looking at the big boys and starting from there. But is that the best strategy with a field like this? How are we starting to build our card?
No, it's not the best strategy. To me, the best strategy.
I'm a fish.
To me, the best strategy is to never be always at the top or always at the bottom or always in the middle. It is to start with the guy you have to have. That's it. It could be, he could be min priced. He could be the most expensive golfer, the guy you have to have. And then the guy that you second most have to have, and then third most, and go that way. So for me this week, and Chris, you know, we kind of had this conversation last week with Vince Whaley. Vince Whaley was $6,200. Some referred to him as a free square because of his nine consecutive cuts made. He went out and did it again. I think he finished T20 and he was very popular. There's a guy like that this week. His name's Kyle Stanley. He's even cheaper. He's $6,100. He's coming off the top 10 last week. He's made four cuts in a row, and he's got two top six finishes in his last three trips to Muirfield. So I don't know if we want to go through the same thing and say, okay, well, Vince worked out last week, so maybe like Kyle Stanley, you know, and then at $6,100, you are free to do almost whatever you want.
All right. So let's say that we grab Stanley. And the other thing is, as I look through, the thing that I like about Kyle Stanley is that it feels like maybe he's had some, I don't know if bad luck is the right term, but like he's got good strokes gained approach numbers, good tee to green numbers, and the putting just seems like a little bit off compared to his career averages. And I feel like maybe we're due up to a regression up to the mean a little bit there.
I certainly don't disagree with that at all, for sure.
All right, so let's say we go Stanley, and we're starting with, you know, a guy that's just $6,100. Then, with the flexibility that we have, Rick, how do you approach maybe the next guy that you have to have, or how do you approach, you know, having some flexibility in your wallet?
Yeah, so now I'm kind of looking at guys that I just think are the most mispriced, whether that's a couple hundred bucks or you know, wherever they're at. Maybe it's Jordan Spieth, maybe it's Justin Thomas. Who knows? For me, I think it's Keegan Bradley. He's a flat $8,000. I'm basically on record. Like, if you let me bet, Chris, that Keegan's going to win one of the next five starts that he makes, like, I like that bet. I don't know if it's this week. The guy's just trending in the right direction. He's figured out the putter. And the best way that I can illustrate that is over his last seven starts, he has gained a combined two strokes putting, which sounds terrible, right? It's not a lot. But when you compare that to his seven starts prior, he lost 25 strokes.
Yeah.
So 25-2 on the positive side is certainly going to be a big deal for me. So I really like him at $8,000. I think he's a very good, just like kind of cornerstone guy for your lineup.
So with the flexibility then that we have, if we put in Stanley and we put in Keegan Bradley, is there a guy at the top of the card that you think is a little undervalued, you think is a little bit mispriced? Could it be like a Cantlay or a Justin Thomas or even a Hideki based on the fact that they are all checking in, you know, 1,000 or a little bit more, less than like a Jordan Spieth or a Jon Rahm?
Yeah, I do think it is Hideki. So he's 9,400. He is, you know,
still no love for our guy.
It's so funny. The win at the Masters actually masks how good he's been playing over his last like 10 or 11 starts, because that's all anybody wants to talk about. He was in contention again at the PGA Championship. He had like four bad holes. He played like 68 really good holes. He played four terribly, still finished inside the top 25. And he's won here before, Chris. He's won this event. So that is legitimate high upside, winning upside for $9,400. I'm going right back to it. I love it.
So if we add Hideki in, then are you thinking that we're finding value around the 8,000, the high sevens, maybe even the low nines? Or are we adding in another big boy potentially, Rick, as we now have three of our six in our lineup?
How much, what's our average left? Do you have that handy?
Our average left is 8,800.
Oh yeah, we are cooking. Okay. Oh, so, what I kind of want to do, so we probably going to be the popular player, maybe on the slate or especially in that range, but I think there's a couple of other really good pivots from here. And I kind of want you to decide this. So Shane Lowry's at 8,400. He could be a guy that we could pair with our lineup right now. He's been playing well at difficult golf courses. He's been making a ton of cuts. He's been ball striking it. And then Billy Horschel is the other one. He's 100. He's probably going to be even less owned than Shane Lowry is. And, you know, we can debate what his form is. We can debate how good it is to win the match play or to play well with a partner at the Zurich, but he's been making cuts. And if you look at what he's done at this event, he's played the last six times he's played here, he's finished inside the top 15 four times. I would sign up for one of those right now at 8,100. So those are the two guys that I would narrow it down to as our next guy in.
Yeah, I like Horschel, especially because I feel like
Yeah, he's almost become undervalued compared to this part of the year and the end of last year. So if we plug Horschel in, we've got two spots left and we've got an average of 9,200, so we can go just about wherever we want.
All right, so now this is where we just take best available, right? This is like you're drafting you're an NFL team. You've got like the sixth pick. You don't have any. You've got a bunch of needs, right? You just take best available here. And for me, unfortunately, you kind of have to consider salary when you talk about best available.
Sure.
But I think it's John Rahm, who is a $200 discount off of Jordan Spieth. As much as I love Jordan Spieth, John Rahm just really elevates at difficult golf courses, whether it's Torrey Pines, whether it's this event last year, whether it's Olympia Fields where he won. He just seems to show up as things get more difficult. We saw it again with the top 10 at the PGA Championship. I just think that at 11,100, he's probably best available.
All right, so we plug in Rahm, then that gives us 7,300 left. We could go, looking at the cheat sheet, we could go a Brendan Todd, Doug Gim, Lucas Glover, HV3, Henley, Gooch, Aaron Wise, Chucky Triple Sticks. With 7,300 left, are you thinking about how much we're leaving on the table and what kind of player, what kind of upside do you like here in our last slot, Rick?
Yeah, so we've done a pretty good job of being, I think, a little bit contrarian, getting two guys in the bottom of the eights. I'm not as worried about leaving money on the table. So the guy that kind of stands out to me, and he also leaves us with 200, is Taylor Gooch.
Gooch
is coming off a 14th place finish at Fort Worth. He's made the cut in five of his last six. He's kind of living in that 14th to 40th range, and he's a really good ball striker. And what I also like about Gooch is, you know, his results on paper aren't going to show exactly how well he's played this year. I think about his start at Riviera. He was in, I believe it was the second to last group, because he was in Max Homa's group on Sunday at Riviera. Didn't play well. I think he ended up finishing 12th, but like to be in that second to last group, he was in contention. That's always a good sign. And the 12th place finish doesn't look as good as it probably should. So Gooch, to me, I think not only leaves us with, you know, $200 to be a little bit unique, but also I like his upside. I think he's got top 15 upside.
I like it a lot. So that gives us Kyle Stanley, Keegan Bradley, Hideki Matsuyama, Billy Horschel, John Rahm, and Taylor Gooch for our DraftKings lineup this week. RickRungood.com is the website. I was watching some of the videos earlier today, Rick, and some of the sleepers. I feel like this is a course where even if, you know, we're not thinking sleeper from a win perspective, I feel like with this field, there are some opportunities to get some advantageous spots, whether it's like a top 10, a top 20, or live betting. Give me maybe one guy or something that you detailed in one of the preview videos on rickrungood.com, an idea for people of someone that maybe they should be paying attention to, if not betting before the tournament, maybe once we get into the tournament.
So I think you raise a really good point. There's a good chance, especially with this kind of big renovation, that, you know, some of the guys who have had success here, it's going to look a little bit different to them.
Yeah.
It's going to be a little bit weird, but also we don't know how it's going to play. And I think we kind of need to embrace the fact that we don't know. Right? Like we don't have to know every single thing that's going to happen out there. So I do think that sleepers are, I think, more viable this week than most weeks. And I look at someone like an Alex Noren. He's $6,800. He's 110-1 to win this golf tournament. And this is a course that has smaller greens, about 5,000 square feet on average. That skews smaller on the PGA Tour. So you kind of have to have this good short game. And that's what Alex Noren has. He's been piling up these top 25 finishes. He's kind of a grinder, guys, that grinder's mentality, where if the winning score is only going to be, I don't know, it depends on the rain and the forecast. If it's going to be 9-under like it was last year, that's kind of the type of event that I want to get Alex Noren on. So he's someone that I would be circling down the list.
I like that. And yeah, his numbers around the green, his putting numbers, and his recent form, that all pops. The preview videos are great at rickrungood.com. Of course, the cheat sheet, all of the information. And I'll be interested to see how some of the putting numbers pop once we get into this tournament, Rick, and see how some guys maybe have some bad luck, see how we can maybe project some bounce-back candidates, because that's one of my favorite parts of rickrungood.com, are those kind of real-time analytics that you provide and where we can maybe find an edge on the field.
Yeah, certainly. This game, I kind of just alluded to it, like the more that you embrace volatility, the more that you embrace that you might not be right about everything and that the industry might not be right about everything, probably the better that you do, right? You know, we split hairs over so many guys, especially when it comes to ownership. Oh, you know, Rory McIlroy versus Colin Morikawa. You know, the ownership's going to be drastically different, but are their chances drastically different? Probably not. Embrace the fact that we might not know, especially at an event like this. I think you'll be better off for it.
Yeah, embrace a little chaos. Go over to rickrungood.com. You can also follow Rick on Twitter at @RickRungood. Check out the First Cut podcast, also indispensable throughout the course of the weekend. Thank you, brother. Have a great weekend. Enjoy it, and we'll talk next week.
Thanks as always, Chris.
Shout out to Rick Gaiman. Shout out to Greg Amsinger. Shout out to the doctors at Ophthalmology Associates. Shout out to you. Hit me up on Twitter after you subscribe to the podcast and leave a review. Leave a 5-star review. Scoops with Danny Mac, The Chris Raby Show, wherever you listen to podcasts. Then hit me up. Let me know who you want to put a bounty on, and we will get you some cards in the mail. Headed to the post office in just a couple of minutes, actually, to drop some more packages off. Again, big thanks to our guests today. Thought that was a great show. We'll chat tomorrow. Drew Silva and more. We've got a very special draft tomorrow that you won't want to miss. But thanks for joining us today. As always, this has been another edition of The Chris Raby Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. I'm Chris Sain. Be nice to each other. And until tomorrow, as always.